Hello friends, good morning, good afternoon and good evening depending on the time you're watching me. After chapter 1 and chapter 2, today we'll be talking about the IT infrastructure management. When we talk about IT infrastructure management, it talks about your corporate governance, your IT governance and so forth and so on and so forth. So after this chapter, you'll be able to have a knowledge on the strategic alignment between IT and the business. A very, very, very important aspect, because if IT is an enabler today and to be as an enabler for years to come, it has to be aligned with the business, right? So say for example, right, if my business wants to achieve or they want to reduce the manpower, okay, I know what is a business objective, how IT can help there. So maybe just to quote one example is I can achieve the manless weighbridge. So when I say the manless weighbridge, I will have the RFID enabled, the weighbridge, which will automate the truck movement. Okay, so every truck will have the RFID tag. There'll be a sensor just before the weighbridge. The moment truck passes, it reads the scan, allows the truck in. The automatic entry happens in my ERP system or SAP system, and the truck is allowed to go. Right, before what used to happen, I used to have 4 people in one shift to manage this show. Okay, so I know the business objective that I need to reduce the manpower. So I may have such solutions, right? Talking about this chapter we'll be talking more on the governance practices. We'll be talking on the ISO certification, COBIT, and so on and so forth. How information security, should be designed. That also be covered as a part of this subject. And of course, cloud, something is a very, very big term or terminology. Everybody wants to move on the cloud because of several reasons. We'll also be talking a little bit more about it. And the data. Data is a new oil. Everybody knows this term, right? Everything has a data. Today, my flight flying at 35,000 feet is continuously giving the data of weather, of the people, or of the timing and so on and so forth. I have my IoT devices which are keep on throwing the data and so on and so forth. So that aspect also we'll be touching on this chapter today, right? So corporate governance, let us talk about it a little bit more on this, what it is, right? So the corporate governance is basically the defined rules or the processes. So when I say rules, it could be a policies, okay, or it could be standards. There could be also processes, several processes, which we'll be talking about it, and the law of land. When I say a law of land, so say for example, you are into a telecom business, right? And the DOT or the Department of Telecom mandates that you keep the data of the call records at least for 7 years. That should be a part of your governance strategy, right? Your solutions, your whatever, next steps are which you are taking as an IT project should be aligned with the business term, right? Another thing is if you have the corporate governance in place, you definitely have the positive impact on your internal as well as your external stakeholder. A very important key, guys, because the great corporate governance is easily visible, right? If you have such practices in place, it shouts out loud that yes, you have the governance in place and nobody can sneak in, right? This governance practices or the corporate governance practices revolves around 4 P's. 4 P's stands for the people, the employee or the stakeholders, internal or external. The purpose, what is the purpose of my organization? The example which I quoted a minute back. The process, what should be my standard operating procedures or a process which can be implemented as a part of this governance strategy. And finally, the performance. And again, this performance will be linked with the business objective as an important element. Now, we are talking a lot about corporate governance. What will I achieve? Ask yourself a question. You will achieve several benefits. Okay, I'm just calling out few, and you have a slide and book with you, so you can go through all. But just to give you a gist of it, if you have a corporate governance in place, you ensure that your organization is on a success track. Okay, since the corporate governance mandates that it should be aligned with your business objective or business strategy, your corporate your success to the organization is kind of inevident. Second is about you know, the corporate governance. If you have in place, you have you know, the or you drastically increase your stakeholders' confidence. Okay, few of you, I mean, many of you might be working in an organization which are ISO 27001 certified. Why? Ask yourself a question. Why I would spend an extra money to get my organization as an ISO 27001 certified? Just because to give the confidence to my external stakeholder that, hey, I am certified by the external agency, right? So I have the good practices in place, and you can, you know, vouch on me. Okay, so that's something, you know, increases your the confidence of not only yours but also your stakeholders, right? Finally, and again, important aspect is the good corporate governance reduces the wastage, you know, at a great extent. When I say the it reduces the wastage. The wastage reduction could be in the form of resources, could be in the form of people, could be in the form of material, and so forth, right? And if I have a proper procedure in place, okay, say for example, the one who is responsible for selecting a vendor, okay, or a partner, and say for example, the one who is responsible for releasing the purchase order or releasing the payment, there has to be a separation there. Why? Because if I have a separation there, I have a great chance of reducing my corruption, right? And finally, having a good corporate governance in place gives me a clear visibility on the existing risk in my organization. Okay, once I have an identification of such risk, and I can, you know, I can bring it to the senior management, and you know, after that, it's a call of senior management whether to accept those risks or, you know, to mitigate them. But what will help me in identifying the risk is the corporate governance, right? So once again, I'll be keeping on, you know, kind of repeating on the strategic alignment with the business, because without that, I have a no value of corporate governance. Okay, so when I say the strategic alignment, there is some word called a critical success factor, which is also used you know, to define this term. And as I gave you an example, that what is an objective of the business wants to achieve. So just to give you one more example, okay, today I have I have some thought process received from the senior management saying within 3 years down the line I'll be probably acquiring some company for as an organic or inorganic growth, right? I have that visibility. So if I am designing some project today, or if I am doing some project today, I have to keep that vision also in mind, so that whenever I reach at that stage, it could be after third year, or it could be after fourth year, and so on and so forth. But I am prepared that, you know, the senior management had, you know, given me a direction or a visibility that this is going to come. So I'll probably right size my project, say resources accordingly, right? So that once I complete that acquisition, I'll probably need not to have the spend again, right? Information is a power. As I said, everything is sending information. Talk about your mobile today, talk about your laptop today, talk about your browser today. It is throwing a lot of information. Okay, when I say a lot of information, it is in petabytes and you know, gigabytes and all, right? Now this information, how it is going to be processed, how it is going to be helpful for my business, right? That is a very important. So again, let me quote an example here. Okay, so if I am into a manufacturing industry, right, say for example, I am responsible for making a cement example, or maybe the aluminum sheet. So I have a large machinery which helps me, you know, either grinding the limestone or, you know, mixing some chemicals and so on and so forth. So all these large facility or, you know, the equipments is generally controlled by some centralized control room. Okay, now all these machineries are sending tons and tons of information with the help of sensor, right? So let me give you an example. Okay, so if I want to melt a limestone, okay, it needs a temperature of 1800 degrees Celsius. Okay, 1800 degrees Celsius when I say. So if I am noticing that over a period of time, say in the month of summer, I can probably you know, use a lesser amount of fuel. Why? Because the temperature outside is already high, so probably I can achieve the required temperature in a by using the lesser amount of fuel. Where this information, or where this decision making would come from? Obviously by analyzing the data, right? So data or information is a power these days. If the hacker is into your machine, into your mobile, I'm not sure how many information you are sending to their command and control center, right? After corporate governance, let us talk briefly about the IT governance. Always remember, the IT governance is a subset of your corporate governance, okay? So you have a larger umbrella as a corporate governance, and below which you have, you know, several governance. We'll be talking about the IT governance. Again, when I talk about IT governance, it all starts with the guidance, policies, procedures, your designs, your architecture, and so on and so forth, right? What I'm achieving with the corporate and IT governance is nothing but a business objective. I'm, you know, adding a fuel to the growth of my business, right? So again, an important topic for all of you to understand, right? Again, this corporate governance has to have some framework in place. Okay, so we'll also be talking about certain frameworks like ISO certification or the COBIT, or COBIT, and so on and so forth, as and when we progress in this chapter. But yes, the corporate governance needs to be structured. The one should be aware that what is going to be monitored, what is going to be controlled, what is going to be kind of process to mitigate my existing risk, right? Coming back to the alignment with the senior leadership, it's very, very important that, you know, the tone is set at the top, right? So suppose if your corporate governance demands that your employee should be trained by the information security course, example, okay? So this tone should be set at the top. Your CXOs should be in a position to, you know, communicate this to their people below, that, you know, this is something important. And believe me, guys, this topic is also being discussed during the boardrooms, right? So again, unless you have the strategy or the alignment in place, you will never be able to identify the several risks which you are on, right? And at the same time, once you identify the risk, it is not required that you do not communicate. You have to shout out loud, and you have to communicate that this is a risk I am carrying in my existing environment. Probably you please give me a sign off or give me a, you know, kind of capex to get rid out of this risk, right? Moving further, so if you notice the diagram here very carefully, we'll be talking about what are the factors, okay? What are the factors which can lead to my, the importance of IT governance and the enterprise IT governance, I would say, right? So the very first point is about the business managers and board demanding the better return on investment, naturally, right? So if you think about moving or doing some project, okay, say for example, you are thinking of implementing the data leakage prevention solution, or you are thinking of augmenting or, you know, upgrading your infrastructure, what is my return on investment? What I will achieve? So if you might have noticed that any project you do, okay, you need or you are asked to justify the business benefit. Why? Because the senior leadership wants that, okay? Concern over high expenditure on IT. So if you compare the spend or the expenditure or expenses on the IT, it is minuscule if you talk about the other business processes. However, it is still a concern, right, from the senior management that, hey, why would be needing millions of dollars for, you know, having this setup done? I can do it without any problem. But they do not understand, you know, the nitty-gritties and the complications there. So again, there is a concern from the board or from the senior management which needs to be justified with the corporate governance. There are several regulatories. Okay, so if you are into a banking or if you are into some financial institution which is in a business of doing, say, the card transactions or the credit card transactions, right? So obviously we know that there is something called a regulation of PCI DSS which is applicable there. Okay, so if I am as a customer, okay, so say when, I may take an example of Amazon or take an example of Grofers, okay, I am buying something from Grofers. I am obviously entering my my credit card or my debit card information. Naturally, Grofers is not, you know, processing the credit card whatever you have inserted in their app from their end. They might have obviously outsourced it to some party who is specialized in this industry. Now, if their job or if their bread and butter runs on specific of this card processing industry, they will have to comply the law of PCIDSS. Similarly, if you are into a health industry, okay, where you are, you know, you're dealing with the patient related data, a very sensitive information of the health records and all, so obviously the HIPAA is something is, you know, kind of applicable for you. So again, having a corporate governance in place, I can at least cover all these you know, regulations. So again, to take one more example, if you are operating a bank, or if you are operating you know, a microfinance or whatsoever related to finance in India, you are governed by the RBI. Okay, I've already given you an example of the telecom industry, right? So all these factors has to be covered, governed by the corporate governance. Okay, finally, selection of the service provider. As I said, that there are high chances of, you know, dissatisfaction if the vendor selection is not done properly, or if there is no adequate due diligence done, you may end up, you know, with the heavy dissatisfaction from your internal stakeholder as well as your external stakeholder, right? So adequate due diligence need to happen while you are selecting the vendor. Obviously, so we'll be talking more about the vendor selection and the clauses in the agreement and so on and so forth in our future chapters. But right now, understand the corporate governance covers everything, right? And finally, IT is very complicated. It's very complex, and obviously, since it's a complex, there are several risks. The hackers, intruders, you know, the masqueraders are waiting for the vulnerability to exploit, right? So if you know your environment, probably you can cover them with the help of the defined process. But if you do not know, then God bless you. Okay, IT governance focus area. What it should focus on, right? So IT governance, you know, ensures that your IT strategies, your IT policies are very much in line with your business need. Okay, I've been repeating this, but I want to, you know, hammer into your mind that it has to be aligned. You cannot walk to the west when the business wants to walk towards east. It has to be aligned. You have to walk together, right? Managing risk. I just mentioned a minute back that several risks are, you know, emerging day in, day out. So the moment you are adding new technology, it is also coming, it might be coming with some risk, okay? There are several business demands. Business wants, you know, the several solutions from the Internet of Things, several solutions on, you know, the predictive analysis, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and so on and so forth. Everything is fine. However, what are the associated risks are we carrying? Okay, I have also seen that few of the, you know, like say for example, if I have the CCTV camera installed in my premises, when I am running my annual vulnerability assessment test, okay, I have noticed that this camera is talking to Torrent. Why? Camera is, you know, the device which does not have the operating system. Why it should talk to Torrent? So when we took this back to our partner who had, you know, provided the cameras, they realized that there was a, you know, a kind of bug in the camera which was continuously talking to Torrent. I don't know how much data I have already lost, right? I don't know how much, you know, my images are being sent onto the Torrent which may be consumed by someone else, right? So again, the risk is emerging. It needs to be covered, otherwise your organization as a whole can be in a you know, trouble. Another thing on, you know, governance practices or what governance focuses actually is my IT spend. Are my IT spend in line? Okay, so take an example of the ticketing system. Okay, I have my existing ticketing system. I've changed my partner, and the partner comes with his own you know, kind of ticketing system. Now he will say that my engineers, my people will be working on my ticketing system. So obviously, what now, the investment which I have made to set up my own ticketing system goes for a toss. So I cannot go ahead and, you know, kind of scrap my existing ticketing system, because for me, for my business, people know that ticketing system. So what probably I will do is I'll probably integrate them together, right? And finally, compliance and regulations. I already said, so when you are, you know, kind of certified, it's a third party who is giving you an assurance that, hey, I have validated your processes. And you know, we all are good there. Many of you might have heard, you know, before we jump onto this slide, let me also clear the concept of the governance and compliance. Ask yourself, have you seen people using this word interchangeably? people say governance, people say compliance, at a, you know, it's same. It's not the same. Okay, so what is governance? So governance is something which your leadership, your CXOs have set up, some visions. They have kind of defined some controls. They have kind of defined some processes for the organization. Whereas in case of compliance, what is compliance is something which industry demands. So the example which I gave you of the Department of Telecom or of the SEBI or of the, RBI, I have to meet that regulation, that requirement. That is compliance. So guys, don't get confused. Governance and compliance are two different ships. And if you fail governance, it may be still okay if your senior leadership is okay. However, if you fail the compliance, you may invite a large penalty. Okay, so you know the GDPR, right? So if your data is compromised, which is housing the personally identified information in the European region, you know the fine and you know the clauses, right? So of the GDPR especially, right? So now moving on the framework. Okay, so as I had mentioned that your IT governance, your corporate governance need to have some defined framework. I cannot go here and there. I need to set in my specific frame so that it is more streamlined and it is more, effective, right? So what are the framework? Okay, and let me explain you what is actually the framework. So if you see the definition wise, the framework gives you the overall view, okay? And it ensures that all my underlying components are covered, okay? That's why, my framework is in place. I cannot have any component which are missed out. So some of you, if you have worked on the ISO 27000 or ISO 27K, you might be aware that there are 114 such controls, right? And all this control covers the entire IT. Furthermore, if you talk about COBIT, COBIT is all more, kind of elaborative. Obviously, there are few controls which are overlapping with ISO. However, COBIT also onboards your business processes. Generally, the COBIT, fundamental or the COBIT framework is, implemented for the large banks and the financial institutions and so on and so forth because it's a mandate by RBI. However, for the smaller companies or for a mid-sized company, probably they would like to go with the ISO 27000 certification. Again, what could be, my ISO 20000 certification? My ISO 20000 certification is again specific to, my service industry. So if I am a service provider, okay, maybe for my internal group companies, or maybe I am a provider for the external people, like say for example Entity of the World, which was a Datacraft earlier, or maybe Wipro of the World, or maybe TCS of the World. If I am providing my services to the external agency, am I compliant with the ISO 20000 controls? Okay, so ISO 20000 control is specifically to my service industry. ISO 9001, more it talks about the quality. We'll not be going into the much detail of each framework. However, it is important for you to know these standards. If you are more interested, you can obviously research on this. It is the separate topic or a chapter altogether, right? What are the policy? Okay, think for about 30 seconds and jot down on a notepad, what do you think are the policy? I would define policy as something which is mandatory. Okay, my government has come up with a policy of wearing a mask if I am moving outside. If I am not wearing a mask, there is a fine, right? My government comes with a policy that my theater, my restaurant will remain shut. Policy. Okay. Similarly, for my organization, I have several policies. This policy could be my USB usage policy or my internet usage policy and so forth. But policy is something which mandates the employees to adhere to. Okay. Now again, this policy has to be in line with the business requirement. So if your business demands that my USB has to be opened because of the business purpose, to give you an example, okay. You as an organization has a policy that my USB access should be blocked across. Think of a scenario wherein I have a function in my plant or in my unit wherein there is a photographer who is clicking several pictures and they want to kind of process those photographs or copy all those photographs into the laptop. You have a requirement, and it's a business requirement, right? So obviously, there has to be a kind of deviation which should be defined in the policy. The fundamental part of the policy is the statement should be clear and concise. I cannot have a scope of ambiguity when I talk about policy, because policy is something which is again governing my practices, right? Based on the policy I have, I may have underlying standards, I may have underlying procedures, right? So the example which I give you is, my internet usage policy or, my physical access control policy. Everything could be a part of policy which is mandate. Think about your organization, think about what all you have experienced and jot down them. It will help you when you prepare, for the exam, right? One more important thing about the policy is the policy needs to be reviewed periodically. Now, there is no, line on the stone which talks about the periodicity. You as an organization can define that you want to review the policy once in a quarter, probably once in a year, the choice is yours. However, it is important that these policies are reviewed internally and approved. Take an example of your, business continuity policy or your disaster recovery policy, okay? Imagine that you have done some changes or you have upgraded your technology in your disaster recovery site, okay? Now, if your policy is not updated, maybe the engineer is on the shift who is new, and if he is referring the old SOP or old policy, he would still see the old devices, and he'll probably operate keeping in mind that he's working on the old devices, but he may come across this, the surprises. So not necessary that you wait for the specific interval. So it is not necessary that you wait for a specific intervals for a policy revision. If you think it is a critical and it should be incorporated by having a version control, obviously you should do it, right? Moving on to the procedure. Procedure, what is a procedure? Procedure is nothing but, a step by step process, or I would say the instruction, okay, which defines what needs to be accomplished, right? Say for example, I have the new employee who is onboarded, right? And I'm obviously going to assign a laptop to them. Now, what is my procedure to prepare the laptop? So my procedure will talk about that, I need to format the existing operating system which has been shipped along with the laptop. I'll probably have my own images, and my own image will have the company standard softwares and so on and so forth. I will probably join that laptop into the domain and I will apply all the policies from the domain to govern that laptop, right? That could be your procedure, okay? Similarly, if you want to give or grant an access of the USB, okay, what is the procedure? Obviously, it's a deviation from your policy. So you would like to have a deviation form separately created, for meeting such deviations. And obviously, you should review these deviations on a periodicity, right? These procedures, may get changed over a period of time, okay? So why? Because I may change the technology, okay? I may change, the operating system. The equipment may go end of support from the service provider, right? So probably I will have to keep my procedures current so that there are no problems for my, supporting staff. Guidelines. Now, often people get confused between procedures, policies, and guidelines. So just be very clear on your mind that guideline is not mandatory, okay? It is some kind of recommendation, which as a subject matter expert, I will probably give. What could be my guidelines? I'll probably have my guidelines saying, in my organization, if I am buying a laptop, okay, it has to be certain version and above. That could be my guideline, right? Why? Because there may be certain softwares which may be coming as a new enhancement from the provider side, which may not work on my older laptop. However, if I have a budget limitation, probably I'll go ahead and continue with my older versions of the laptop. But that's something, a guideline good to have. So so when we'll talk about certain standards, okay, in the future slides, there are also certain, guidelines given. Like say for example, if you have say a server room, you'll probably give a guideline that there should be a raised floor there because of the proper cable management. That's again a guideline. Now, if your management feels that no, it is not important for this year, probably will pick up like say next year because it's an investment. Okay, it's fine, but it's a guideline, right? Talking about standards, again, many organizations are very big on the standards, guys. Why? Because standard is something gives a uniformity, right? So let me give you, one of the standard practice. In my organization, I have the server room at each my unit, okay, or each my offices. If you go and see, all the server rooms will be absolutely identical. Okay, when I say identical, if I have the server, okay, if I have say the VM or the virtualized server, it will be of the same model everywhere. Okay, if I am using the Cat 6 cable or a patch cord, it will be having the same color coding everywhere. Okay, so maybe I can choose to have the WAN connectivity on the red cable. I'll probably have a voice connectivity on the blue cable, and I'll probably have my console cable could be of the pink color, but it will be standard across. Why? If I need to support somebody who is probably non-IT, and if I want to guide him or her, just by looking at the cable, I'll be able to guide them that, hey, you please pull the cable out and change the port, right? That's what the standard I mean, right? I may have a standard that, my rack space or my rack size or a rack specification should be of a very, very specific, okay? Again, these standards are a choice for the organization, but let me tell you that the better standard you have, the better for you it is. Coming on to the security side, I have a minimum baseline security standard. It's also referred to as a MBSS. I repeat, MBSS, minimum baseline security standards, wherein I will have the standards defined. Just to give you an example again, if I am using a Cisco router or a Cisco switch, I will go ahead and disable my console. I will have the access control list on my, the line VTY, okay? In a nutshell, standards are something which, I will define for my organization for making my life easy, okay? Ticketing tool. I'm sure all of you either have already used this ticketing tool or will be using the ticketing tool, right? In fact, if you talk about the non-IT, okay, if you want to raise some concern with, say, Amazon or some other provider from where you are taking the services, you will be putting some concern on the chat, right? You will be assigned some number. That's a ticket number, right? Talking about the IT, if there is an end user who wants to have the either USB access or wants to upgrade the RAM of the laptop or want to install some software, probably what they will do, they will go ahead and raise a service ticket on the ticketing tool. Ticketing tool is pretty common, okay? And if I have onboarded several partners, so again, to take an example, if I have the partner who is managing especially my network operation center, I have a partner who is managing my security services, they might be having a separate ticketing tool because it's their engineer who are going to work on those tickets. But for my organization, there could be a separate ticketing platform. I may would like to have an API integration with them, right? So that there is a seamlessness. So the moment my employee has raised a ticket in my tool, it gets replicated there so that the engineer at their end can work on the ticket. Ticketing tool, or say requirement of having a ticketing tool is a must to have these days. If you're a smaller company and if you have a lesser employee strength, it's okay to manage it manually, but as and when you grow, it's very important tool to prioritize your ticketing. So suppose if you have some VIP user, let's say one of a CXO, for sure that if there's a ticket coming from them, needs to be prioritized. Suppose if somebody wants to have a VOIP call with some other unit, that's again a priority item, right? So ticketing tool is something which is a very common these days. It also helps you to track whether I'm meeting, you know, my specific defined KPIs, SLA or not, right? Without tool, it becomes very, very difficult. Take care of yourself. Thank you so much.